Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings to everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk.
on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America, South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, Far East, or any of the communist bloc countries that we are broadcasting into, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Before we get started, I sent out two emails today, one with the glamping site on it and you know, what we are up to with the suggested room layout on it. So if you'll check your email for that. And then one with a just sort of a little small sermonette on taking the name of Yah in vain. And I'm using these things to, you know, they're subjects that we've already talked about, but on Hebrew Connect. Putting the, you know, these different topics out there to get people interested, involved, you know, so we get comments back on these little small sermonettes, and people are starting to pick up on Yesharon Farms and getting a lot of favorable comments concerning Yesharon Farms. So, you know, let us be encouraged in what we're doing, and let us keep doing what the Most High has told us to do. There are people who are interested in doing these things and living, you know, off the grid. And so, you know, we just need to be continue to be faithful and keep heading for the mark that the Most High has set for us. As I said, on this evening, we're going to start worship and prayer. And, you know, this class is designed to discuss those topics that every saint should know, whether we are new to the word or whether we are been in it for a minute. We should, you know, be of on one accord and of one mind in these things. And, you know, one of the things that I've said since we started is, you know, we want to bring those individuals who are new to the word, we want to set the right expectation for them, because a lot of us come out of the churches and we felt like the church didn't teach us, or they taught us an error. You know, they were, you know, we just didn't feel right coming out of the church. And so these topics are designed so that when you are speaking with somebody who is in the church or who is new to the word of the Most High, that we set the correct expectation. Even on our foundations of discipleship, that, you know, we set the correct expectations. So people are coming into this walk with the right expectations that the Most High has set. You know, we don't really care who's right. We just want to know what's right. And we want to do what's right. We want to be doers of the word. So I'm going to go ahead. We're going to do our statement of faith. And then I'm going to open up, you know, for you that are in the online class, you can go ahead and unmute your mic, because this is a class, you know, class environment where we ask questions and things like that. And then those that are called in to the Blog Talk Show, I will open up your mic. And again, you know, we want participation. It's not all just me just saying, thus saith Yah Elohim. But, you know, we're going to talk about some specific questions, and then, you know, I want your participation in answering them so that it's not just all lecture, okay? All right, with that being said, let us do our statement of faith. And then we'll pray in and go ahead and move forward. I believe that all scripture is given, and let me do this. Let me have all the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads. Has turned toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8, and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today, for truly he's worthy. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. We just glorify you, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name. We extol thee on today, Father, and we bow down and we worship you. You and you alone, for you and you alone are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And so another will we not give our obedience to, give our worship to. Only to you, Father, and we thank you today. We thank you for the feast of trumpets, and we look forward to your return, Father. We thank you for tabernacles, which is coming up, Father, and we look forward to your return. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you on today. We magnify you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our scripture reading for tonight will come from the book of Matthew, chapter 23. Book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, shall humble himself shall be exalted. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and jump into this lesson. This is the first part of this, worship and prayer, because how we worship the Most High is very important. You know, we got a lot of organizations that are doing what they want to do, and they're making it up, but the Most High doesn't allow us to make it up. He doesn't allow us to do our own thing. He told, you know, Israel, our forefathers, that they were to not add to or take away from. And, you know, just a simple act of burning incense at the wrong time during the ceremony cost two of the priests at that time their lives, because they burnt it out of order. You know, the Most High said, that looks strange to me, that's strange fire. I didn't order that at this time. And so, you know, we serve an Elohim that is an Elohim of perfection and of absolute, and he knows exactly what he wants. And he tells us what he wants. So worship, which includes prayer, has been defined as the giving of honor to Yah, the rendering of worship to our Creator and Redeemer, the communion of spirit with spirit, or our spirit with his spirit. It is a man speaking to Yah, and Yah to man. It is the time of spiritual eating and drinking. Prayer is ultimately man's recognition of Yah's superiority. Through prayer, man humbly approaches Yah, who says, "Whosoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whosoever humbles himself shall be exalted." We just read Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23. And I'm going to open the mics here. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23. And when you have it, if you say amen. Amen. Thank you. It's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Most High always wants us to be humble. He never wants us to be prideful. He never wants us to be lifted up, especially when it comes to him. Go to Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. The book of Isaiah. Chapter 57. And we're going to get verse 15. Isaiah 57 and 15. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Amen. Thank you. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. The Most High, you know, again, he wants us to be humble. He wants us to be contrite. That's kind of broken. He wants us to you know, not be puffed up at all. Not concerning ourselves, not concerning, you know, anything that we've accomplished in this world, but he wants us to just be humble in nature, meek. Go to Isaiah chapter 66, the book of Isaiah chapter 66. So we're going to get one verse, but actually, let's go to Isaiah 65. Let me see where I want to start here. Actually, we can go back to Isaiah 66. We'll start there. 66 and 1. Isaiah 66 and verse 1. And when you have it, you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right. Thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Now, David asked him, could he build him a house? And the Most High told David, you know, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me? If the earth is my throne, what do you think I'm going to fit in that you can build for me? But the truth of the matter is, I had already built this house. When he created Adam, when he created man, and this is what David didn't understand. But David, you know, he had a house, and he wanted, and the Most High was, as far as he knew, was in a tent in the tabernacle. So he wanted to build the Most High a house. Verse 2, for all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been made, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and at that, and trembles at my word. You know, this whole message of fearing Yah and trembling at his word and being fearful of him. That's the only way you're going to really walk in his way. Fear him. But he says, I'm looking for him that is poor. And he's not talking about poor in wealth or anything like that. Come up poor in pride, poor in being puffed up, and of a contrite heart, and that trembles at his word, that's in fear of transgressing against the Most High. So that's the only way that you can approach him correctly in the right frame of mind, is that you truly fear him. You don't just come before the Most High just any kind of way. You got to, you know, you got to come before him with true reverence and respect. You know, your prayers should never be to move the Most High to your position, but to move you to his. What is your will? What would you have me do in this circumstance? All right, so go ahead. It is said that prayer, praise, and scripture, and exhortation are the four cardinal elements of worship. And we will cover in more details in a later lesson, those aspects of this. So the first question is, how must we worship Yah? And Sister Denise, I'm going to put you up first. How must we worship Yah? Let's go to the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. And let's get verses 23 through 20 and 24. John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And when you have it, go ahead and read them. You got your glasses on? Yeah, you better clean them or something. So, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Fire himself said that the hour cometh, and now is. Now is the time when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. This is not what he wants. He don't want us worshiping him from our mind, but he wants us to worship him from our spirit and in truth. The Father seeks such to worship him. You know, a lot of people read the scriptures and read the Bible and they study, but they never really pursue being filled by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And it's by his spirit that the Most High leads us. It's by his spirit that he inspires us. And our spirit is the only thing created that was ever created that the Most High wanted to unite with. Brought my spirit upon all flesh. And so he wants us to be able to worship with his spirit, with him. Elohim is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is how we must worship Yah, in spirit and in truth. That means that without his spirit, he says that those things that are spiritual will seem foolish to us if we are in our carnal state, if we're in our carnal mind, if that's how we're worshiping him. There are some things that he does. He says, like the preaching of the cross, him going to the cross and dying on the cross. For the carnal mind, that would sound foolish. Him being born of a virgin. You know, if we're in a carnal mind, our carnal mind says it takes a man and a woman to make a child. But in spiritually, we know that the Most High, all things are possible through him. And he says, hey, there was no man involved. And so he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we have to worship him by his spirit, being filled with his spirit. So how can the worship of Yah be corrupted? Okay, how can it be corrupted? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And Sister Lorraine, that will be for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. And when you have it, say amen. All right, go ahead and read Romans chapter 1, verse 25. All right, amen. So when we change the truth of Elohim into a lie, whether we got it wrong, whether we were taught wrong, whether, you know, we just can't believe it, but we corrupt our worship when we worship him from a position of a lie. That's why it says we got to worship him from a position of what? Spirit and truth. when we corrupt his word, we corrupt our worship because we're worshiping in a false way. We're worshiping in the spirit, really, of a lie. And so who changed the truth of Elohim into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator? So we can't be worshiping the Most High to be self-serving. There are a lot of people who get into religion because they need something for themselves. And a lot of people, whether it is they couldn't make it into the world, so let me become a teacher or a pastor. Let me do this. Let me do that. You know, it's not a bad thing to desire to do that. But you got to be called to it by the Most High. He has to call you to teach. He has to call you to preach. Or else you'll try to take his glory and his honor. And so you don't want to serve the preacher. A lot of people have even gone so far into this and worship animals and nature. You know, when I say nature, like the cosmos, the heavens, you know, they look at the force of nature that the Most High has put in place. And, you know, who can mess with a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake? Or who can you know, mess with the sun? You know, so men have always worshipped these things rather than the creator of them. Have always attributed, you know, the power and the strength in those things to those things rather than to the Most High. So we don't want to change his truth into a lie. Or else we corrupt our worship, we corrupt our understanding, and we worship him falsely. What does corrupt worship cause? Sister Mary, verses 26-32. Chapter 1, verses 26-32. What does corrupt worship cause? Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear us, Sister Mary?
I'm just reading. I'm sorry.
If you're reading on mute, well, never mind. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice. All right, go ahead, my sister.
Recompense of their own error, which was met, and even as they did not lack restrain Yah, in their knowledge, Yah gave them over to a reprobate mind, Berkeley. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. Did I say malicious already?
Yeah, that's malignity.
Malignity, I can't even get that out. And whispers, backbiters, haters of Yah, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to the parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing that the judgment of Yah, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in those that do them.
Okay. So when we change the word of Yah into a lie, and we corrupt our worship, that corrupt worship causes us to become accepting to a lot of things because we're already believing a lot. And so we're open to believe some of anything. Okay. Now, this is caused by the Most High because, you know, I've shown you before, I'd have to go get the scripture, but I've shown you where when we choose to believe a lot, then the Most High says, okay, since you choose to believe that lie, when I'm unctioning you in your spirit that what you're believing is wrong, but you don't want to accept that, you're more comfortable in the lie. And you're more comfortable in living in the lie. So I will cause you to believe that lie. So nobody can't tell you it's a lie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You just believe it. And it's because he's causing it. Okay, but then we get become open to other things. It makes us a reprobate mind. It means that we have a mind that is been rejected by the Most High.
Worthless.
It's worthless. He looks at it and says, oh, you're not, you know, you are reprobate. You are a reject.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm going to let you believe these things, and you're going to believe that these things, you're going to justify doing things that are not convenient. Most of that I made a man and a woman to procreate this way. I did not make her back door an entrance. But you're going to make it convenient. We'll find a way to do it. But it's not convenient. Okay. So we'll justify those things. So he says, let's go back up to verse 26. For this cause, and I want you to underline, who gave them up to vile affection? Who gave them up to vile affection?
God did.
Most High. You want to be like that? I'm going to put it on you to be like, just like I hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you be this way. And I'm going to make you be this way. So you're going to think that you're thinking the right way and everything that you think is okay, but it's what? Not.
Wow.
It's vile. Mm. But he did that intentionally because you chose to change and believe the truth.
Yeah.
Change his truth into a lie. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Man looking at man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather be with you than be with a woman, but I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman, mm-hmm. I'd rather be with a woman than be with a man.
Right.
Burning in their lust one toward another, even men with men, working that which was unseemly. That's an exit. It ain't an interest. It wasn't ever designed to do that.
Right.
And received in themselves the recompense, the payment of their error, which was met. So, you know, these diseases, you know, they're not new on the mm-hmm. earth.
Right.
You know, they're not new in this generation, and maybe they didn't know what to call it back then, or maybe they called it something different. But they knew people was dying, and they knew that they were, you know, getting sores where they shouldn't be getting sores, and you know, they weren't dying natural death. Okay, and so they knew something was wrong. They might have called it consumption. And even as they did not like, now this is the kicker here, even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge,
mm-hmm.
Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They knew that what they were doing was not right, but they did not want to keep Elohim in their mind because it what? Convicted them.
Mm-hmm.
Made them feel guilty. But this is what I want to do. Mm. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Elohim, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Most sex toys were invented by some man. Just like most men, most of women's clothes are designed by who?
Men.
So if they got your breasts hanging out and your butt hanging out, they got them skin tight on you, it's because that's what the worldly man, what, wants to see? Okay. Disobedient to parents. Don't have a fear of parents. Most I said there's only two individuals in this world you should fear, him and your parents.
Yeah.
Disobedient to parents without understanding. Now, we know the scripture says that nobody can have understanding unless the Most High, what, gives it to them?
Give it to them.
You know, and so if he don't want you to have it, I don't care who teaches it, how they teach it, you're not going to have it. Because he turns it over, turns you over to it so that you wouldn't have understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Covenant breakers. Now, that's the vast majority of people. You know, when we don't believe that we have to keep the old, you know, the law, and when we teach, you know, that we're not up under the law, then we teach that we're really not up under the covenant. We're making our own covenant. But the Most High says, hey, the new covenant is the old covenant with a couple of what? Modifications. There's just some changes. But I'm not deleting my law. I'm not doing away with it. I'm going to, Messiah came, you don't need to make that sin sacrifice no more. You know, I told you don't go mix with the nations from the very beginning, but now if you're going to take the gospel to the world, you got to go mix with the nations. So I'm going to change the law concerning that. But people don't want to keep his covenant, his contract. I did, like I said, I sent out a little sermonette on not vanity, but taking the name of Yah in vain. And sort of showed in that little presentation that taking his name in vain is all about, it's all about relationship. Because the first thing he says is, you shall have no other Elohim before me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first commandment. Not going to have, you know, so I try to make it so that people can understand it in the carnal. You won't have any other man before me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you shall not make unto you any graven image of anything in the heavens above or in the earth beneath, or in the water, and bow yourself down to it. You should not have a picture of any other man.
Right.
And give it what him adoration, admire him, or desire him. The Most High is supposed to be the only one that we worship. The man that you pick is supposed to be the only one that you give your affection to. And then the third commandment, when he says, thou shalt not take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain. That means to come into covenant relationship with him, into a contract with him, and take his name. That's why he says, if my people, which are what?
All by my name.
All by my name. Don't take my name and treat it as worthless. Don't marry me and dishonor the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Don't marry me and look at pictures of other men and desire other men and have somebody that you treat better than you treat your husband. This is what he's saying. So don't take my name in vain. Don't take it and treat it as something worthless. Covenant breaker. without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now here's the thing. They know this. Who knowing, and underline that word, the knowing the judgment.
Amen.
Okay, because the Most High said we are to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgment. You know, brothers and sisters who are awake, stand a heartbeat, we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. You will not find them saying they keep the judgment. Because the judgment say, hey, if X happens, this is what I want you to do about it.
Mm.
No, Most High, I don't want to do that. I'll figure out something, but I don't want to do that. So he says, who knowing the judgments of Elohim. We know what his judgments are, and the judgments for transgressing laws, 99%
of the time.
Teachers.
Yeah.
Right.
He is now in the conference.
We'll mute you so that we don't get the echo. Who knowing the judgments. Like I said, underline judgment, because this is critical. When the Most High says, if something happens, this is what I want you to do about it, this is my judgment on that matter, you don't get an option to do something different. Because then you're saying, I know better than you, Most High. And I don't think I'm going to do that. And that's what Israel did. So we can't do that. He says, when we do that, he turns us over to vile affection. Because we're disobedient. That knowing the judgments of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about 99.9% of all the transgressions. The law does not bring you life. You transgress the law, it brings you death. You don't do his judgment, it brings you death. Because his judgment on everything is this is a blood covenant, and therefore it's sealed with blood. Where is the life of a thing?
In the blood.
In the blood. Amen. So it's sealed with life. So if you break it, it costs you your life. Something died for you for this covenant. Someone died for you. In our case, it was Messiah. So he says this covenant is sealed with his life, with his blood. And if you break it, you're pledging your life to enter into this covenant. And if you break the covenant, it costs you your life. So which knows they would commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So when you have when you get turned over to that vile affection, you be bragging about what you're doing. And you be taking pleasure in other people that's doing it too.
Mm.
Instead of being, you know, against them and being against what they're doing, you know, you'll be complimenting them on it, high-fiving and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what he says, what happens when we corrupt, when we turn his word into a lie, and we corrupt our worship to do all this. Because we're approaching him, what, in the wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
We're approaching him from the position of a lie? And, you know, he's the one that said, in Isaiah, you know, when Israel, Isaiah 58 and a couple other places, when Israel would come to inquire of the Most High, the Most High says, son of man, ask them, why are they coming to inquire me as though they have a what? Right to.
Right to.
You ain't got a right to come and inquire of me and you walking in transgression.
Hmm.
You are reprobate before me, and you think you got a right to come and ask me something, especially trying to come and ask me for a favor. Mm. Give us favor in this. Go before us in this battle. I ain't going before you in nothing. If anything, I'm going to fight against you. That's what he told us. If we didn't do what he told us to do, he would fight against us. So we got to understand that how we worship him is critical. Not like us worshiping him from a position of a lot. Worship me in spirit and in truth. So it's very important what you believe. It's very important what you understand. Because let me find this verse real quick. I don't want y'all saying Brother Miles. Good grief. What was all that?
I don't know.
That was me going in the paper bag.
You're killing it over. You're killing me. Let's see here. I want to be in the New Testament. Give me one second here. I believe this is in Corinthians, but just go to 2 Thessalonians. And I'll read this one. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to start in verse 1. So I want everybody to understand that the Most High will do this to you. Okay? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Mashiach is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he as Elohim sits in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Now, I'm not really concerned about this portion. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom Yah shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, why are these people perishing? Because they receive not the love of what?
Yeah.
The truth. That they might be saved. They rather believe what they wanted to believe because it was comfortable. Okay? For this cause, Elohim shall send them strong delusion. Who's going to send them a strong delusion?
Elohim.
That they should do what?
Believe a lie.
Elohim's going to send a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Elohim will send you strong delusion when you don't want to believe the truth. When you don't want to believe his truth. When he sends it to you 3 and 4 times, and you still choose to stay where you're at.
Amen.
Because it's him sending it to you. When you stop hearing that, that means he stopped trying to tell you.
Amen.
And he's going to allow you to stay where you're at, and he's going to allow you to believe the lie. He's going to make it to where you want to believe it. With a strong delusion. And so no matter what somebody says to you, you can't stop believing that thing. Because the Most High has caused you to believe it. I sent you somebody to tell you the truth, and you wouldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent them more than once to lie.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to make you believe that what you believe is truth. So you won't stop believing it. Okay. So I just want you to see that the Most High will do this. When we choose to turn his truth into a lie. Because it's convenient. Okay. Next question. How did Mashiach worship each Sabbath day? Go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 4. And you're up, Sister Denise.
And he came to
Nazareth.
Nazareth. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
Okay, that's far enough right there. His custom was to stand up and read, to go to the synagogue and stand up and read on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
That means a custom is something that you regularly do?
Yeah, regularly do.
Okay. Messiah kept Sabbath. He went to the synagogue and he read the book. And he taught from the time that he debated with the teachers, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes. And they, you know, they couldn't believe how well, you know, read he was in the scriptures, not realizing that they're dealing with the author of the book. Okay, so that was his custom. Going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and to read. Okay. What does Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tell us about worship? So let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And Sister Lorraine, that will be you. Hebrews chapter 10.
Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. I really mean in a building. Because who is the church?
We are the church.
We are the church. The people are the church. And before we had computers and before we had the internet, then the only way we had of assembling ourselves was to meet at a building. Meet at somebody's house. Meet in a field. But today we can meet and we have different tools that we can use?
Yeah.
To assemble ourselves. Doesn't make it to where somebody says, oh well, you don't have a brick and mortar building. Well, you don't really need a brick and mortar building. If Messiah was teaching them from the top of a mountain, were they in a building?
No, it was not.
It was out in the open, right?
Yes.
So it's never been the building, even though the building makes it convenient. is when it starts to rain, Messiah can control the rain. I can't say I can control the rain. So he can make it to where, hey, it ain't going to rain till we done. And y'all gone home. Oh, ain't nobody leave to get to be able to go eat? Messiah said, no, don't worry about it. I'll feed everybody. He had control of it. Now we have, you know, buildings today for what? Convenience.
Right.
So that we can all meet together and be in what? Comfort. Mm-hmm. We can sit on the pew or the benches. We can play our music. We can hear the message in comfort. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Don't go off and be by yourself. I don't need nobody. I got me and y'all.
No.
I'm good.
Right. We got to understand it.
Right. Yeah.
I hate when they say that.
Yeah. The bottom line is we are to encourage one another.
Yeah.
We are to lift one another up. This walk, especially if you're truly trying to do the walk, it's not an easy walk.
It is not.
And so we all need encouragement. We all need to be lifted up. We all need to, be told, hey, I wouldn't go down that path. And so much more as you see the day approaching. We all, I don't know who don't believe that we're in the last day. And every day that goes by is closer to the day that Messiah returns. And we still got some stuff we got to go through as a people because Antichrist is going to be given power over the saints. You got people thinking they're going to escape this stuff. When he says, no, I'm going to protect you from my judgment, but then I'm going to turn Antichrist loose. And now let me see when your butt is really put in the fire, let me see how strong you really are. When it comes down to your life versus getting into the kingdom, were you all taught? Because when it comes down to it and they got that gun to your head or they got that gun to your child's head or your grandchild's head telling you, hey, if you don't take this mark, then we're going to kill them. Are you going to say, well, go ahead and kill them? I know that Yah is able to raise them back up. Or are you going to say, kill me? What are you going to do? Because see, a lot of people will pretend that they're strong, but without the Ruach HaKodesh, trust me, you're going to try to save your life because this is all you know, this life. Ain't nobody seen heaven. Ain't nobody seen the other side. So this is all we know. And if our faith is not strong enough, then we will try to save our life. It's just like when I said that, you know, with COVID. COVID is a plague from the Most High. It's a judgment from him. But you had those of us that still went out and took that shot trying to, what, circumvent, sidestep it?
Uh-uh.
There are a lot of us who did.
Yes,
it is. And they knew what it was. So we have to, you know, it tells us where we are at. It'll tell us and it'll show us what we will do, when true fire comes. I'm going to save myself. But he says, those who save their lives will what?
Lose it.
Will lose it. Okay. So we got to know that. All the more that we see that day approaching, that we stay strong in the Most High. We need to hold each other up and encourage each other and lift each other up and be living by what, example?
Yeah.
So that we know that we ain't the only one going through.
Right.
And we understand. We are all on the same page. We're in the same boat. That way we can encourage each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotta have that. Okay. So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Okay. And we assemble ourselves together not just to hear teaching, but to also fellowship and to worship the Most High. To give Him glory. To praise His name. In a corporate way. As a body of believers, as a body of doers. What are some of the guidelines for our worship? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And Sister Mary, if you will get verses 18 through 21.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 5.
Amen.
Ephesians
5, what verses
again? 18 through 21. And we're looking at what are some of the guidelines of our worship. You may go ahead.
Be not drunk with wine within the excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
So stop right there. Stop right there. We're gonna do this one verse at a time for this one, okay?
Okay.
Be not drunk with wine, with drugs, with weed. That should not be your high. Wherein is excess, but be filled with who?
The Spirit.
The Spirit of the Most High. That's who you should be high off of. There is no high like the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like being high on Him, where you know and you haven't you know you in having a worship and you with Him and you know He's with you, and He's ordering your steps, He's ordering your lips. You are speaking in tongues and you are just having a good time in Him, and that's between you and Him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you're spending time with Abba. Be high off of Him. And knowing that you're walking upright with Him. That you are in a good place with Him. Because it's hell when you know that you're not in a good place with the Most High.
Yes, sir.
It's hell when you are filled with guilt.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when we become so desensitized, we stand and don't even feel what? Guilty.
Guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know that you're in a bad place. I'm just here to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
When you can sin and you feel no guilt about it, you are in a bad place. So you are to be filled with Him. Be high off of Him. You got a problem? Don't go put a bottle to your mouth or pop some pills in your mouth or smoke a joint.
Yeah.
Go spend some time with who?
The Father.
With the Father.
Yes.
Spend some time with Him. He'll make it all better, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't have a hangover. And you won't have no guilty feelings.
Amen.
Verse 19.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to Yah.
Stop. Singing and making melody in your heart to who?
Yah.
To the Most High.
That's right. Sing to Him.
Amen.
Praise Him. Use His words on Him. Because we didn't write now word in this book. So you get your songs from the book. You get your psalms from the book. You get your melodies from the book. Take some scriptures and make a song out of it.
Mm.
It could be your own personal song.
Mm.
It don't have to be nothing that somebody's written and made, you know, famous. So you just take some scriptures and start. From your heart. That's worshiping Him. That's praising Him. Verse 20.
Give me thanks always for all things unto Elohim and the Father in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ.
So give thanks to the Most High in all things. In the name of who? Are we told to use the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or in the English, Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
In everything we do.
Everything. Mm.
Just do what he tells you to do.
Yes.
Verse 21.
Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Yah.
No, one to another in the love of Yah.
In the fear.
Why should we be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of Yah?
So many reasons.
Number one, he told us to.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Number two, if we don't do what he says to, he says, I'm a terrible Elohim.
I do terrible things.
And I do terrible things.
And
people,
you know what,
think,
Brother Miles?
What was that, my sister?
He says you can fear him over 150 times in this Bible that
Amen.
I have counted so far.
Amen. I can tell you exactly. I'll look it up in a minute. But
okay.
It is, he tells you to fear him more than he tells you to do anything.
Amen.
He tells you to fear him way more than he tells you to love him.
Keep his commandments.
Right,
right.
Keep his commandments. Obey me. Obey my voice.
Amen.
But he's telling you to submit yourselves one to another. I look out for you. You look out for me in the fear of Yah.
Amen.
I better be looking out for your best interest so Yah don't get me.
Amen.
What was your motive? Why was you trying to help that sister? What was it, for her best interest, or was it so that you could gain something?
For her best interest.
Right. So be for her best interest. And you better do it in the fear of who?
Yeah.
The fear of the Most High, the Father.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You got brothers out here doing things. It ain't out of the fear of Yah. It's so that they can trap some sister in, you need me for this.
Right.
You know, I'll pay your rent. Let me just come lay up a minute. Well, I need my rent paid. I need my nails done.
I can do my own.
I mean, when some sisters told me that, I was like, sister, no. You're prostituting yourself.
That's it.
Don't do that. You know, that's not right in the eyes of the Most High.
Right. And then, Brother Miles, you got people that say they don't see them, like, straight out.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm scared for them.
Right. You need to be more than scared for them. You know, the bottom line is they truly show that they don't have any understanding of what the word is telling us.
Right.
None. Yeah, because they think that they're his friend, or he's, you know, so merciful, and they are under grace that I have to do one. I'm going to do a little small sermonette on that and send it out to
ATM machine.
Yeah, that he's a sin ATM.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go withdraw some more grace.
Right.
Some more mercy.
Yes, well, you know, he know my heart.
Right.
Know that.
Yeah, he know your heart. That's why you're heading toward the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't want to hear that.
So the bottom line is, we are to submit ourselves one to another. Look out. I'm supposed to have your welfare, your well-being, your best interest at heart at all times. In the fear of Yah. Because if I don't do it, and if I got ulterior motives, I got to answer to him.
Amen.
You know, so that's each and every one of us.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's part of our worship. It's obeying him and submit and doing what he says to do.
Amen.
Now, we could take that into marriage, into the next verses where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto Yah.
Wow.
That is a form of worship. I am doing for my husband as though I'm doing it to who?
The Father.
To the Most High.
To the Most High. I hate to say it, but a lot of y'all can't hear that. Huh?
But you ain't supposed to let your husband take, like, reverence over the Father, huh? No?
If your husband is walking the way he's supposed to walk, he ain't going to do that, number one. But number two, if he's not in the Word, what do you think he's going to do?
Oh.
You ain't supposed to let him make you what? Sin?
Oh, okay.
But if he tells you to do something, if it ain't making you sin, if it's preference or whatever, then you, as his wife, you're supposed to do what?
Submit.
Submit yourself.
Okay, I guess.
And he's not supposed to try to make you do it.
Right.
Because the Most High, he didn't give the commandment to the woman. He didn't give the commandment to the man to make your wife submit.
No.
He said that unto who?
The wife to submit yourself.
Right. He told the wife that. He said to the woman. And unto the woman, he said. You got a lot of men that try to, because Most High says that he shall rule over you, they try to take dominion. Even if they got to beat you into submission.
Yeah.
But the Most High ain't never said that.
No.
Most High gave the commandment to her. So if she don't do it, who's going to have to answer for it?
She is.
That's why it says the man is supposed to be meek. You know, I expect my wife to submit to me, but if she don't, I don't have any authority by the scriptures to make her submit.
No.
I got to do what I have to do. That's why he says, save who?
Yourself.
Save yourself. Do what you are supposed to be doing. You ain't got no control over nobody but you.
That's right.
That's all you have control over. It's you. You got to do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let this bring both of you to the lake. Because you're gonna get into it because, hey, you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, so I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
Then both of y'all going to end up in the lake.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And I think we're back to you, Sister Denise.
Okay.
And let's see verses 16 and 17.
Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to Yah. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Yah.
Amen. So let's look at this word, admonish. Admonish, to warn, to caution, to put in mind. To reprove gently. You don't want to tell somebody, you're going to hell. You don't stop that. That's not how you admonish someone. You do it gently. Brothers, sisters, you know that we're not supposed to be doing that. And here is the word of Yah, and this is what it says. That's admonishing. And encouraging them to do what? Better?
Right.
Okay. Let the word of Yeshua dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That means when it says dwell in you richly, that means that you should be full of the word of said, in the word period. In all what? Wisdom. That means that you got to use the word what, wisely?
Yeah.
Can't use it to try to hurt somebody. Can't use it to try to beat them down, because the Most High wants to draw us all.
Right.
Okay. I would not that any should be what? Lost?
Ask the Father to forgive me about that one just the other week. That'll forgive me.
Amen.
Ask for forgiveness.
Amen. Well, at least you recognize and what ask.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's important, because it means that you repent of whatever it was. Okay. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to Yah. We're supposed to forever and always be building each other up. But we're also supposed to be what? Warning each other? And encouraging each other. Now, he says, hey, if somebody is intentionally walking and doing stuff they ain't supposed to do, and they know they're not supposed to be doing it, and you've told them a couple of times, then there's a whole nother level you take this thing to.
Yeah.
Because now they clearly don't want to do right.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly are what? Blowing you off?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they want to do what they want to do. You know, how do you accidentally fornicate?
Right.
Yeah, you don't just fall in. You don't just fall into that. You might let it overtake you, but you know what's going on when it happens.
Right.
And you are, unless you are being raped, you are a willing what? Participant. Okay. So you admonish one another with that. I know you don't want to be lonely. I know you don't want to be by yourself the rest of your life, but you can't do these things because you end up going where?
In the lake.
So you have to decide whether you love a penis more than you love the Most High, or whether you love a vajayjay more than you love the Most High. You got to make a choice. What wouldn't you give up to obtain the kingdom?
I'll give up everything that I ever knew.
Amen.
Getting to the kingdom.
Amen. A lot of us struggle with that. A lot of us. Okay. All right. Let's go to chapter. And who just read? Sister Denise?
Yes, I did.
Sister Lorraine, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through 10.
But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
But now you also put off all these things: anger. You have some people in your life that just know how to push certain buttons.
Yeah.
And we get on automatic. Because as soon as they say something, we done already went there.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, but we have to bring that.
I'm working on it.
Amen. Well, you know, you have to just bring it under the what? Objection? Bring your own mind into subjection, because you have allowed them to condition you that way. They know what they're doing when they do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, we just get into a place where we would automatically respond a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they push button A and B, and button A and B, we automatically went way over here.
Mm-hmm. Right to the left?
Yep. Wrath, which is the same thing, but just more angry. You know, you get so angry, you can't see, you can't talk, you're shaking. You want to do this person harm.
I can't stand that one.
Yeah. Malice, same thing. Deep hatred.
Mm.
Blasphemy. Let me tell you what real blasphemy is. Changing the truth of Elohim into a lie.
Huh?
That's blasphemous. If he says, wives, obey your husbands or submit yourself to your husband, and you don't, you just blaspheme.
Mm-hmm.
When we make his word not true.
Okay.
Filthy communications out your mouth. EMF this. Whatever that. You know, I know brothers that be cussing out one side of their mouth and Yah coming out the other.
Mm.
I said, how does that work?
It don't.
I said, how you do? Because, you know, even when I used to be on the old radio show, and brothers be on the radio show cussing, I'm like, brother, you can't cuss on here while I'm on here. Those two don't go together for me. It's not out of respect for me. It's out of respect for the Most High.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I just can't, you know, we ain't going to do that. And I'm not going to let you sit here and be comfortable doing it. I'll stop everything right here, and we can talk about this. I'm going to say something about it. And they got to where they wouldn't cut. Because that's filthy communications out your mouth. Just cussing. Ain't talking about what you said, talking about somebody. You gossiping about this person. Talk about who you had last night that you ain't married to.
Mm-hmm.
What this sister did for you. What you took from this brother. You know, just crazy stuff that we are not supposed to be talking about.
Yeah.
You know, caught up in the drugs and what they make us do. So, you know, it's a lot of things that we as his people, we have to give up in order to live holy lives. And a lot of us don't want to live holy lives. Just saying the word holy is a cuss word to an unholy person. You mean holy. Don't want to hear that word. I ain't perfect, but he told you to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. I am perfect.
So if you're not perfect, you sure better be trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're supposed to be in obedience. You're supposed to be in obedience to your King, to your Elohim, to the Most High. And he's the one that said to be perfect, not Brother Miles. He's the one that said to be holy, not Brother Miles.
Yeah.
But you say that to some of us, and it's like we just cut somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to put on me something that mm-hmm. I can't be. No, you don't want to be it. That's the bottom line. You want to stay where you're at.
Yeah.
And you're comfortable where you're at. But that's, you know, the Most High is calling you to something, what, higher.
Yeah.
Something better. He's saying you're supposed to be trying to be like me. You say you're my child and you all the son of hell. You ain't my child. My child is supposed to be like me. My child is supposed to emulate me. My child is supposed to understand who daddy is and represent daddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why why, you know, when the Most High showed me, and, you know, I told you guys the same thing, if being a child of the Most High is not enough to make you stop sinning, ain't nothing going to make you stop sinning.
Nothing.
Because if you don't value that, then what? Being a Hebrew Israelite is going to make you stop sinning? I don't think so.
All right.
But if you understanding that you're a child of the Most High, if you really are his child, then that should be enough to make you what? Stop sinning. It should be enough to make you want to work toward being what? Perfect. Being like your Father. Verse 9. Who was reading?
Lorraine.
Sister Lorraine. Verse 9.
Lorraine.
Yes.
Verse 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9.
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
Lie not one to another, because we quick to lie to one another.
Mm.
Quick to portray ourselves as somebody we're not.
Mm.
Quick to tell you what you want to hear to get what we want. Just lie not one to another. That's our nature. I want to be hidden. I don't want you to know who I am. Let me lie to you. Let me tell you something. And then, if I'm on the prowl, let me tell you what you want to hear. Oh, I know this is she's lonely. Let me say this, or, you know, when I was in the world, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When I was in the world, this old man, he was 70 years old, told me when I was 21. He said, you treat a lady like a whore, you treat a whore like a lady.
Huh.
I had to think about that for a minute. But people want what they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So a girl who is real proper and all this, men aren't approaching her and being after her in that way. And so that's usually what she wants. I want that type of attention because nobody gives it to me. But what do you think of what type of attention a prostitute wants? If somebody always treating her like a piece of meat, do you think you want somebody to treat her like a lady?
Yeah.
That's what he meant by that. People want what they don't have. And it worked. I can testify to that. It worked because it was true. But in both cases, you're doing what? Lying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And telling them what they what want to hear.
Want to hear.
So that you can get to the ultimate goal of whatever you were after. I'm not even going to go there. So, just lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his that was the old me, because that's the way I had been taught from my youth up. He sort of gave me a more inside secret. I had to put that stuff away, put it down. That was the old me. Now, if some of them girls saw me today, who do you think they're going to see? You think they're going to see the changed me, or are they going to see the old me?
They're going to see the old me.
Same old house, but they don't realize it's a different what occupant. So, you know, we our past can what? Catch up with us?
Yeah.
And people, you know, you wonder why. We used to do certain things when we were younger, and then because we were doing these certain things when we were younger, when we get older, we change. We wonder why people still treat us about the same.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to believe that you are a changed person or it's not the same you.
Mm.
Because this is who they used to know. This is the way they used to know you.
Right, so that's what they'll tell you. I remember when, remember you used to do this?
Right, because that's what they know.
Right.
And boy, that ain't me no more. I don't, you're right, I don't believe you. Okay, so lie not one to another. Don't just be telling each other stuff just to be telling each other stuff. If I say anything to you, it should always be the truth.
Yeah.
If you say anything to me, it should always be the truth. I should not. I should be always looking out for your welfare, and you're looking out for mine. Fear of the Most High. Because trust me, if I had the fear of the Most High back then, a lot of things I said and did, I would never have said and done. So I did not have fear of the Most High back then. Today, I got fear of him. So we have to always remember that. And that's a form of our what? Worship. Worship is not what you do on the Sabbath. Not just what you do on the Sabbath, it's what you do every day. It's how you obey the Most High.
Yeah.
Part of your worship. Verse 10, and having put on the new man, when you go down in that water, and I've said this to us before, you should not get baptized until you know what you're doing. Because when you come up out of that water, you're supposed to kill off that old man.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that old person was doing, I'm running, I'm getting drunk, I'm getting high, I'm fornicating, I'm committing adultery, I'm stealing, I'm doing whatever. Mm-hmm. When you come to Messiah, you are supposed to kill off all those what ways. Not trying to kill them off. You are supposed to have what? Kill them off. Because, number one, you know that they're wrong. And when you repent of them, you say, I'm sorry that I did this, and I'm turning what?
Yeah.
Away from it.
Yeah.
I'm no longer doing this anymore. Because I realize that I have transgressed the laws of the Most High. I have offended not only this person, but I have offended who? The Most High. So you're supposed to have, let's get this verse. Go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 7. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
For godly sorrow worketh what?
Where are you at?
I said 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Y'all amended it now. That meant y'all was there.
I had 7, but I didn't know you was.
Chapter 7, verse
10. I got this.
All right. For godly sorrow worketh what?
Repentance to salvation.
Not to be repented of. But sorrow of the world worketh what?
Yeah.
When you don't have godly sorrow and you got worldly sorrow, which means that worldly sorrow simply means you're sorry you got caught.
Mm.
That's worldly sorrow. I'm sorry, you know, I'm not really sorry. I'm sorry I got busted. If I didn't get busted, I'd be still doing it. That's worldly sorrow. But when you have godly sorrow or Elohim sorrow, that means that you recognize that you have offended the Most High. And you are sorry to that level. Most High, I have transgressed all the way to heaven. and I am truly sorry. I'm going to turn away from doing this. That's what repentance is. So you have godly sorrow. You realize that you have offended the Most High Elohim, and not only the person that you transgressed against, but him also.
Mm.
You got enough respect and fear in you that you're going to turn away from it and not ever do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what repentance is. Okay? So when we repent, we turn away from all those things that we know are sins. How can you confess something that you don't know is wrong?
You're not right.
Can't confess, so whatever you confess, you're supposed to stop. And not go back to it ever again, because you know it's wrong. That's what confession is. Now you can still sin, but you sin how? Ignorantly.
No.
I didn't know that was a sin. Then you can confess it. Most I confess, I sin. And I'm going to turn away from it like I turn away from what? All the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't going to never do it again because I know it's wrong. And he says, I am true and just to forgive you because you did it how?
Ignorantly.
Most I ain't never forgave willful sin, except for one time. That's what that grace is all about. I'm going to forgive you just one time for everything.
Mm.
Now go and sin no more. Mm. Well, I'm trying to get better. No, I didn't tell you to try. I told you to go and sin no more.
Sin no more.
I didn't tell you to go and try not to sin. I said, don't do it anymore. Because you know it's wrong. And if your fear of me ain't enough to stop you, then I ain't scared to throw you in the lake. That's why I say people playing with this thing and they got to stop playing with it. So, godly sorrow, having godly sorrow. I sinned against you, Most High, and I fear you, and I respect you enough. I'm not going to ever do it again. I'm going to turn away from it. Then you should get baptized, because you know what you're doing. You're not just going down in the water because somebody told you to go down in the water. And you went down in the water, you got wet, and you came back up, you just got wet. Ain't nothing changed. You're not that you still got that old man. That old man went down in the water, that old man came up out of the water. So
just got wet.
Just got wet. That's what it amounts to. Because unless you have truly repented, you're going to come up out of the water going back and still struggling with those same things that you were supposed to be, what, dead to. So if you used to steal, you can't come up out of that water still having the urge to what? Because you didn't die to it. Still got that urge. Can we understand that?
Yeah.
Amen. So we're supposed to kill off that old man. Then we get baptized. Then we come up out of that water a new creation, a new creature. Okay. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And we are in verse 13, I believe. No, we're in verse 11. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11.
Amen.
All right. Who's up reading?
I think it's me.
Go ahead. Get verse 11.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 11.
Where there isn't the Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, provided. And what's that word, Brother Miles?
Think. Scandinavians. Think.
Okay. Bond or free. But Yeshua is all and in all.
So when we come up out of the water, and what a lot of us don't want to accept, especially being in you know, coming to the knowledge of the truth, that we are Hebrew Israelites. But when we come into Messiah, Messiah said he's going to make one new man, both out of the Jew and who? And the Gentile. I'm going to make one new man with me to head. So he says there is neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or scent, bond or free. These are all opposites, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But Christ is all and in all. So we are supposed to be coming into the body of Messiah, and we're supposed to have one mind. We're supposed to have one thought. And it's not that the Jews have to obey the laws and the Gentiles don't. That is not the mind we're supposed to have. It's not that, the Hebrews are the only one getting in and the Gentiles ain't getting in. If we are in Messiah, he says there's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek. You are all in me. So we be fighting about some stuff. The only, you know, I tell the truth. The only reason why you need to know you're a Hebrew Israelite is so that you can do what the Most High said to do. You got to repent for the sins of your father. And still got to come back and obey his law. But then the Gentiles still got to obey his law. So we got some things going on in the body. Some schism is going on in the body that ain't supposed to be there. And, you know, because they, you know, that the Gentiles did us so bad, the Gentiles did to us, they went overboard, but the Most High said, hey, I put you in that position because of the sins of your forefathers. Now, they done went overboard, and I'll get them for that, so don't you, vengeance is mine.
Yeah.
Don't you be trying to take vengeance because you know, you feel bad or you angry about what's happened to you. And humble. Love mm-hmm. your what? Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to get off into, you know, a whole lot of other stuff that we shouldn't be into. So we find ourselves walking in disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
To the Most High, to our King. He said to be this way. And that's the way you better be.
Hmm.
Put aside all your stuff. Put aside your personal stuff because it ain't about you personally.
Huh.
It's about what the Most High wants. Not what you and I want. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of Elohim, holy and beloved, bowels of what?
Mercy.
Amen.
No, bowels of hatred.
Kindness.
Bowels of malice.
No. Mercy.
Mercy.
Kindness. Humbleness of what?
Of mind.
Don't be all puffed up. We the people of the book. We better than you are. Yeah, you were better at disobeying the Most High than everybody else.
Amen.
Don't be puffed up. We should be some of the most humble people on the planet.
Hmm.
When we think about, right, when we think about what our forefathers did to the Most High, how are we going to be proud and puffed up?
Right.
And to the Gentiles, he said, hey, don't you boast, don't you brag. Because if I broke off the natural branches, and if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'll break you off too. So we just have to be humble. We got to be what he says to be. Meek, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Mashiach forgave you, so also what?
You forgive him.
If Messiah can forgive us, our forefathers, for killing him when he was there to save them, I'm here trying to save you and you're going to kill me? I love you and you hate me? That's why Mosai says, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Because I loved you while you were yet my enemy. You were my enemy. And I loved you. So you love your enemy. And forgive. And if they don't want to love you back, don't worry about it. I will get them. But you better do what I said do. Verse 14, Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. And above all things, put on what?
Charity,
mercy, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Elohim rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body. And be you thankful. How many bodies are we called to?
One.
The body of Messiah. By how many spirits are we called into this one body?
One.
By one spirit. Let's get that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's get verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be you, Sister Denise.
Okay.
For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit.
Let's stop there. For by one spirit, not two spirits, not three spirits, not a spirit for the Gentiles and one for the Jew or the Hebrew. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. I'm going to take both Jew and Gentile and make one new body, with Mashiach being the head of that body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Verse 14, go ahead and read that, Sister Denise.
For the body is not one member, but many.
So we got many members that make up this what?
One body.
Those members are made up of Jews and Gentiles. That's it. Did Brother Miles make this up?
No, it's in the book.
Right there, we're reading it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we don't never want to become puffed up. We don't never want to become, you know, that we're the people of the book and we're better than anybody. If Messiah has accepted them, then we are all the same. So one more place. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. And that will be for you, Sister Lorraine.
Okay. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father.
By how many spirits?
One.
One spirit. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High. This is how we worship the Most High. By walking in him. By being filled by him. By becoming his children. When we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, we become his child. He has chosen us. Important that we are baptized of the water and of the Spirit.
Spirit.
When we are baptized in the Spirit, Yah has chosen us.
Amen.
He don't just give his Spirit to everybody.
Amen.
So when he fills you with the Ruach, you have been chosen.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to one more place and we'll wrap this up for tonight. We'll pick this up. We'll pick it up on question number 7 on next week. So let's get one more scripture and we'll close this up for tonight. And this will be for you, Sister Mary. First John chapter 3, verse 2.
Beloved, now we are the sons of Elohim, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we will know that when he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah.
Beloved, now, when you get filled by the Ruach, now are we the sons of Elohim. If you know that you've been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, then that should be enough to make you stop any drug addiction, any alcoholism, any other sin that might be set you. I don't care what it is. If you know this, that you're a son of Elohim, you're a child of Elohim, that fact alone should make you and give you enough to stop, to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
You're not becoming a child of Elohim. It says you what?
Now, are.
You are. So if you are, you need to start walking like you are. You need to stop not acting like you are. You need to be. Don't put on an act. Mm. Don't be acting one way in public and in private you something else. Mm. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim. Not becoming. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. None of us has ever seen a true saint. Because we ain't put on our spiritual bodies yet.
Hmm.
That's why we see each other and, oh, the same old person. We ain't seen our glorified bodies yet. And it does not yet appear what you shall be. But we know, and you have to know, I have to know, when he shall appear, that we shall be like who?
Him.
Him. That's why you can't stand in his presence in your current condition.
Man.
You need to be changed. You need to have a different body to stand in his presence when he's in his what? Own body.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be in the presence of the Most High in flesh and blood. So you got to be changed. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. for we shall see him as he is. They never saw him as he truly is. They never saw him in his true form. They saw a semblance of it. And in order for us to dwell with him in his true form, we got to be like him. In every one of us. And we got to be like him, not just in body, but in character. Morally. Spiritually. That's why it's important that you get it right now. You have to know this. You have to know this. So let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health of today. Father, we thank you for allowing us to read your word, Father, and to understand that the true worship of you is the true service to you, that we obey your voice and that we keep your commandments and that we do those things that make you love us. That it's a daily thing, and it's not just what we do on Shabbat. But it's how we live our lives every day. It's how we treat our fellow brothers.
Yes.
And our sisters. You have said that we should fear you in all that we do, and that we should even submit ourselves one to another in fear of you.
Mm.
That if we don't do right, we got to answer to you.
Mm.
Father, help each and every person listening on tonight. Give them a heart and a mind that they would first fear you and that they would submit themselves one to another, that we submit ourselves one to another in love and that we obey your commandments, those that you have given us for you and those that you have given us for our fellow man, and that we obey your judgment because we are quick to say, Father, that we keep your statutes, your laws, your commandments. But we are not quick to say we keep your judgment.
Yes, Lord.
Father, give us a heart to keep all of it as you have ordained and that you have called for. That we would do all these things in the fear of you.
Mm-hmm.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so next Tuesday we will pick this up. Again, remember that this class is for... it's the milk of the word, but it's everything, these are the things that every saint should know.
Yeah.
And that we should walk in them. And so this is prayer and worship. Next week we'll pick it up on question number 7. What does Psalms 150 instruct us to do in connection to worship? But see, we shouldn't be so proud that we won't clap our hands, we won't stomp our feet.
Mm.
We won't open our mouth.
Mm.
Let everything that has breath do what?
Praise him.
And everything that's in us.
Praise him.
He's worthy. All right, with that being said, 16th of October is the start of Tabernacle. It is a holy day. It's a solemn assembly day. It's a no-work day. Okay, so if you are able to get off from your job, you need to put in for it, and at least that first day, and I believe the 8th day is a holy convocation.
What about the Day of Atonement, Brother Miles?
Day of Atonement is what, the 10th or the 15th? Hold on a minute. Let me see when Atonement is. Because, no, you can't work on the Day of Atonement for sure.
Oh, I'm not an atonement.
So the Day of Atonement is, let me look at the calendar here.
I don't know.
Day of Atonement is coming up on the 4th of October.
Amen.
So also can't work that day. Definitely not Day of Atonement.
Right.
Okay. And so sunset on the 4th, set on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we will be an observant of that. And we will have service that night. I'm not sure if I'm going to do a precept that night or we will just go before the Most High.
Amen.
I'll let you guys know prior to, but we will meet on that evening, the night of the 4th. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear ya and shalom.
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 All right. Here we go. Need my glass.
Yahuwah.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, everyone. Shalom, family.
All right. Shalom, everyone. Peace and blessings.
Amen.